I'm Mike Salem. For over 75 years, my dad, Pastor Salem, touched lives all over the world with his love of Jesus. With your support, we at the Christian Worship Hour are blessed to be able to continue broadcasting his messages, proclaiming the gospel. A viewer from Minnesota recently wrote, "Pastor Salem helped turn my life around. I turned on the program and couldn't believe this guy and just kept watching. I am very proud of you all for keeping the program going. I never get tired of it. I watch and enjoy every week." A Facebook friend wrote, "I have watched and listened to the Christian Worship Hour for many years. Pastor Salem brought out the Christian message in spirit and truth. God bless the memory of Pastor Salem and all the wonderful people who are still involved in the ministry. What a great gift it has been to me. Today's message, Have You Grown Up Spiritually?, speaks to how we should handle afflictions and submitting to God's will in all things. God bless you."
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that the week has rolled by, and here we are, we're getting together again. And I was just thinking, you know, week after week, after month after month, but one of these days the trumpet's going to sound, and time will be no more. We're going to see the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be gathered together in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and won't that be something? And so that's going to happen. And oh, we're just praying that you're ready for that, because if you don't have Jesus, you're not ready. So you just stay with us. We're going to have a scripture and opening prayer, and then I'll get into a little bit and tell you about accepting Jesus. Have to have Jesus. But the psalmist writes in Psalm 61 in the opening verse, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Isn't that beautiful? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be under your wings, safely abiding under your wings, and that you keep us there and you help us and direct us all the steps of the way, all the steps of our life. We just love you so much, Lord, and we just, oh God, we want to have everybody know you and trust you, because if they know you, Lord, they'll love you. If they don't love you, it's because they don't know you. And so in this service, oh, we pray that everyone who is listening, everyone who is watching will turn to you. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing for us, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." You're going to just love this. God bless you, Jan.
Whatever to ask beside, and I doubt his tender mercy.
Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. And isn't that wonderful that we can say, not that Jesus just led us today and helped us along. He's going to lead us all the way. And he's never going to leave us or forsake us. You cannot lose your salvation. If you've accepted Jesus and you're his child, you cannot lose your salvation. I got a little book on that called Salvation. I'll give the address here in a little bit, a few minutes. But you can write and just ask for salvation because you can never lose your salvation. And he'll lead us all the way. And when we come to the end of life, here I am 95 years old. He's led me all the way. I accepted Jesus 85 years ago, 10 years old. And now he's here, and you know what? He's going to be with me all the rest of the trip. And whether it's long or short, a day or a month or a year, who knows? He's there, and he's going to take me home. And won't that be something? Well, now we have some letters, and I want to thank you for the letters. And I tell you, we read every letter we get. And if it's a spiritual problem, we answer that. If you get into politics and stuff like that, we're too busy for that. We're preaching the gospel. We're dealing with souls, and so we'll, if it's a question, a spiritual question, we'll answer it the best we can. And if we don't know, we'll tell you we don't know. And so I'll give the address just a little bit. But here's our first letter we're reading is from Custer, South Dakota. Good old South Dakota, out in the Black Hills, near Mount Rushmore. And they write, thank you all for the church services you provide to those who do not attend church elsewhere. It's not that I don't want to, but where can we hear the Bible preached anymore? We appreciate your old-time services with the beautiful hymns being sung and the Bible being preached. Thank you so much. And I know that in some of these little towns, that it's hard to find maybe a church where they're preaching the Bible. They're preaching everything under the sun. God help them. But just search and try to find a church that preaches the Bible. If not, get some friends and have a Bible study and study the Word of God. But don't be a lone wolf. Get somebody that you can talk to and fellowship with and share your spiritual thoughts with. Here is Boulder, Montana. I am currently in Jefferson County Jail. I was wondering if you can send me some Bible study stuff or anything that has to do with the Bible. Me and my cellmate are Christian now. We have faith and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are locked up, but we are not suffering because we found the Lord in here. But we're hoping you can send us something about the message of God's word. And can you pray for me and my cellmate to get to where we're going to pray so we can be where God wants us to go and do? Thank you for your time and God bless the Christian Worship Hour. And so we hear so many, many people in prison and we pray for everyone that writes and we send letters to everyone. And we write to everyone that we get, everyone we hear from. And so here's these dear people in Jefferson, in Boulder, Montana. And they know the Lord. And they found Jesus. And they're talking about Jesus. And we'll send some literature, help them to get started in the Christian life. And encourage them in their faith. Here is Duluth, Minnesota. It has been 3 years now since we caught your worship service on TV. Since then, we make it a point to watch the Christian Worship Hour every Sunday night. I want to thank you for your presentation of the true gospel, which has strengthened my wife's and my faith. We also appreciate the new song material that we've been receiving. And the new song is a monthly publication, put it out every month, first of the month, and it's a Bible study. And it's a wonderful help. And if you get that Bible study, you can study it. And this month in November, we are our Bible study on ways to thank God. And so you can just write, and we'll give you the address in just a minute. And we also have the sermon topics, and we have the text. You can read the scriptures, and you can be ready when I'm preaching. You can say, well, he's off base. That's not in there. So you study it and you'll be all set to go. And another thing, we have a whole page of excerpts from letters that we get. Some, they're just thrilling letters. And I know you'll like it. And so you write to us and ask for the new song. And really, we don't charge anything. We really ought to, because it is so valuable. But we're such nice people that we won't charge anything. So get your pencil and paper. Talk about it in a minute. Let's see, here we are. We have Duluth, Minnesota. And then here's Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Love your program. I was born in Holland. Came to the United States years ago to Sioux City, Iowa. And so we're so honored to hear from this dear lady, born in Holland and now in Sioux City, Iowa. God bless you, dear sister. And I just hope you're trusting Jesus. That's what you have to do. You have to have Jesus. You've got to have Jesus. And I'm going to stop right now and tell you what you need. If you want Jesus in your life, you just ask and you know you're a sinner and you know that you're going to go to hell if you die in your sins. And you just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll serve you the best I can. And thank you, dear Jesus. That's all you do. Don't make it hard. I prayed that little prayer when I was 10 years old. I was born again and I've never doubted. I've never been without Jesus because he's said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Pray that. Pray that right now, and then we'll talk about it in just a minute. Here's a nice letter from Kimono Island in Washington. You remind me of my dad, who was ordained a Salvation Army officer in Melbourne, Australia in 1900. When I was a child, he had left the army, and every Sunday he would go down to the beaches and preach the gospel with his violin and a few friends. He'd soon have a crowd around him, sometimes a few hecklers, but they didn't faze him one bit. God bless your ministry. Well, does that just thrill your heart? And the hecklers, let them heckle. They can heckle all the way to hell. You know that? Oh, my God. If they would turn to Jesus, if they just knew it. I remember Harry Ironside, and he accepted Jesus when he was just a little boy. And his mother says, now you tell the boys at school what you did, that you accepted Jesus. And then he came home, and his mother says, did you tell the boys you accepted Jesus? And he says, no. Well, why didn't you? Because they laugh at me. And then Ironside said something I never forgot. My mother said, well, Harry, they can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out. So the hecklers will always be there. Pray for the poor souls, because if you don't have Jesus, you're going to have hell. That's all. It's heaven or hell, Jesus or the devil. And you know what? It's your choice. Nobody makes it for you. Nobody can make it for you. You choose. So, oh, I hope you'll all come to Jesus. Let me see here. Here's Osawatomie, Kansas. I thank God for your ministry. I live in a home and don't get to church. So your program is my church. I have no money and so much appreciate your TV ministry and the mailings you send. May you be blessed every day and every night for today and always. Now, here's shut-ins, and some of them don't have any money. Some of you do have money. And I'm going to talk about that just a minute. I can't wait till I talk about money, because we have to have money just like anybody else. And here's, they don't have any money, but we send them the new song, we send them literature, and we help them every way we can. Here's Cloquet, Minnesota. Thank you so very much for sending my requested reading materials. And I know that I have cherished and applied them to my daily prayers and fellowship with God, who is our Almighty Father. The value of your ministry is priceless. The impact you have made on my faith and soul is immeasurable. You're always in my thoughts and prayers, so continue the good fight. Love and God bless you. Well, you know, the reasons they're getting all this blessing and all this help is because it's the Word of God, and I preach the Word of God. I just give it out. A parent could do it. Anybody can do it. And you just give the word of God and the Holy Spirit picks it up and he takes it all over the world. And this one needs this and this needs this and this needs that. And the Holy Spirit knows every one of you exactly. And he applies it to your heart and you're blessed and you're helped and you're saved and you're encouraged. And what God knows what he all is doing. It's so wonderful. One more letter. And this is from Gregory, South Dakota. I lost my wife and other family members. Your preaching has given me hope and reminding me God is with me through the good times as well as the bad. Well, that's the word of God. There's the word of God again, see? And that wonderful word of God, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. There'll be a time when the heaven and earth is gone. And all you the people are living for this world and getting all of this world you can, it's going to burn up. St. Peter says it's going to pass away in fervent heat. It's going to be gone. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. But you just spend all your life for this earth. It's going to be burned up. And if it does, you're not here then. When you leave, you can't take it with you. And so why is it so futile? You just have to have Jesus and sit lightly on the things of this earth. Don't build such fancy nests, because you're going to have to leave it. Just we're pilgrims passing through, working for the Lord, serving the Lord. And so we're just so happy that we can help these people. And here's this dear brother lost his wife. I know what that's like. Nobody knows what it's like to lose a spouse unless it's happened. You can't go to somebody and say, I know how you feel if you haven't lost your spouse. Don't even say that. You don't have any idea. You lose a part of your soul, a part of your being. And here he is. He's finding hope, and he's finding hope because in Jesus, Jesus gives us strength, and he'll never give us more than we can bear. And St. Paul says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and the Lord will give you strength. Won't give it for tomorrow, but he'll give it for today. Take one day at a time. You get along. Well, now, if you'd like to help us, this is where you do. It's the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Wonderful place. 57402. If you want to send a gift over the internet, you can do it like this. You get on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there'll be a place to donate, and there'll be a place where you can give. And you can send us a gift from anywhere in the world, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, what if I send him a lot of money and all this money, the Lord's money, and then maybe they buy a car with it, buy a fancy car with it. Maybe they'll get a fancy house. Maybe they'll take a trip. I don't know how they spend that money. How can I tell? All right, I can tell you how you can tell. We are a member of an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization, and it checks giving all over the world. They check Billy Graham and those organizations. They're a member of it. Now, to be a member of it means that they audit your books. They go through all of our books, and they check to see that we send a receipt for every gift we get. And not only do they check on what we get, but they check on how we spend it. And if I spent it on a new car, well, they would throw us out of the organization. That they would. They would drop us. And so your money will go just exactly for the Lord's work. And so we have a need. We have big bill. We have bills to pay every week. And we're just like, we're just like Elijah at the brook Cherith. And the ravens came and fed him every day. So God feeds us every week, every month, every week. And we always have enough for almost 40 years. And we're just going right along. So you help us. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And if you want the new song, you put new song. If you want the one on salvation, you put salvation. And you'll hear from us. God bless you. So now I'm going to pray. And Jan is going to play, and you do what God tells you to do, and everything will be fine. Lord, thank you for helping us through your people. We have no other income except through your people as you lead. So we thank you for all these gifts we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. We appreciate your ministry music every week. So faithful and loyal, as all of our people are. We have a whole crew running the technical part of this. We have our musicians, and they're year after year after year. Some have been with us as long as we've been doing this from our studio. And I'm just thankful for each one. Well, we're reading from James chapter 1, and if you have your Bibles, we'd like to find that. James chapter 1, and James writes, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, or holdeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And so we're going to pray, and you know, every week we pray for the church, the persecuted church, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Uganda. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank this passage that James gives us. And he tells us how that we need to be careful on how we handle with our riches, and how that we just are, they really don't belong to us. They're a gift from you, and you're just entrusted to us. That it's like a great store, Lord, and we only work in that store. We don't own the store, we just work in it. And so you let us handle these things, but they're not ours, they're yours. And so help us to be faithful in our giving. And Lord, we just thank you for all of those who give so faithfully to the Christian Worship Hour, and that we've been able to meet our bills every time, and it's because of the faithfulness of God's people. So we're thankful for that. Dear Lord, we want to pray today for the persecuted church and so many parts of the world, but we're thinking especially, dear Lord, about the people in Uganda. And we know that some of them are giving their life for you, and that they are really maybe some have lost their homes and loved ones, and maybe some are put in prison, and how the church suffers. And yet you told us, Lord, that Satan hated the church. He hated the cross of Jesus Christ, and he's going to strike out against it with all his fury every way he can. And he knows, Lord, the time is about to end. And so he's fighting fiercer than ever before. And oh, how the church, how the people of God suffer. And yet we know, Lord, that you'll help us in our every trial and temptation. You'll try us through everything we have to face, and you'll never leave us or forsake us. And so we pray for those brothers and sisters in Uganda. Pray for the little children especially. Oh, God, they are so innocent and haven't hurt a soul. And yet they suffer along with the most wicked of people. And Satan, dear God, we'll be so glad when you come again and put him in the lake of fire, where he will be with the devil, with his angels, and all of the people that refuse you will be with him. but we thank you that you're going to deal with Satan someday. So now bless us in this service, Lord. Help keep our eyes on you. Help us to grow spiritually as we think about spiritual maturity today. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb is going to sing for us. She's going to sing, "He Touched Me." And God bless you, Barb.
By a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now
thank you, Barb. God bless you. And you know what it means to be touched by Jesus? It means that you've opened your heart to Jesus. That's what brings glory to your soul. And when it says, "He touched me," it means that you have opened your heart to Jesus. You say, "Well, how in the world do you do that?" Well, here it is. In Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart. I stand at your heart's door. I stand at the door to knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and I'll fellowship with him. And so he is saying that when you hear, when you just have a feeling or you just feel like, "I want Jesus. I want eternal life. I want heaven as my home. I want to be sure." Then you just say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart." Just invite him in like you would any person. Ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins, because you can't go to heaven with any sins. Not one speck, not one little green apple that you stole, not one little white lie. There is no such thing. They call them white lies. They're black and dirty is the next one. But you've just committed some sin. Maybe it's a big sin. Maybe it's a terrible sin. Maybe it's a lot of sins. But you ask Jesus, his blood will wash away all of your sins. And you're a child of God. And you can go rejoicing. And so that's what it means. He touched me. Now, when we accept the Lord Jesus, we are born again. And that is that we get all things new. We behold and become a new creation. All things have become new. And so when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and take away our sins, and by the way, thank him too. After you ask him to take away your sins, thank him and tell somebody. Don't keep it a secret. He's not looking for a bunch of secret agents. He wants us to let the world, we're ambassadors for Christ. And if you're a man and you've accepted Jesus, tell your wife. Boy, she'll probably pass out and then she'll get up and make the best meal you ever had. Just thrill her heart. Don't die and having her wondering, where is he with the Lord? Have her know, I know he told me he accepted Jesus. You just do that. Take care of those. A lot of times it's a men. I don't know why the women come first. I've been preaching for 72 years. I can only think of three cases where the men came first. Seems like the women are smarter or more bigger, tender heart or something. I don't know. But whatever the case is, come to Jesus. Maybe you've been thinking about, maybe you've been thinking, you men have been thinking for a long, long time, but you're just still never just too big of a man. You don't need the Lord. You'll need him when you come to hell, the hell's gates of hell, because nobody's going to help you. You accept Jesus. He can take away those sins. Oh, just do that. Now, when you accept Jesus, you're born again. You're a new creation. And you're a little baby. You're a spiritual baby because everything's all new. The Christian life is all new to you. And so we have to grow. And he wants us to come to maturity. And St. Paul writes to the younger, to the Christians at Corinth. And they'd been Christians for some time. And he says, you don't grow. You're still like babies on milk. And you ought to be eating strong meat. You ought to be growing up. And so you need to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And so today I want to say three ways in which you can grow mature in the Lord. Three ways you can grow in grace. And first one I put down is, how do we handle afflictions? Have you ever seen that bumper sticker that reads, when life hands you a lemon, make lemonade? Well, now there's some proof to that. Because how do we handle the hard things of life when life treats you roughly? Well, then instead of, throwing up your hands and feeling sorry for yourself, turn it around for good. Have that and handle those afflictions when they come. And they're going to come to every one of us. None of us are going to get around them. They're going to come to all of us. And turn them around for good. When a defeat is handed you, turn it into victory. That is, I'm not going to take this as a defeat. I'm going to come back and I'm going to win this day. I'm never going to give up. When the trial comes to you, triumph over those trials. And God will help you to do it. So see, it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. It's difficult to do because you don't have, I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to have the right attitude. You have to see how you look at things. It must be a joyful, trusting attitude that comes with walking with the Lord. And it only comes with walking with the Lord. You're not going to be able to do this in your own strength. Forget it. You have to have extra strength and help. And when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he indwells you and he gives you strength and he gives you help that you never had before. And so we have to have that right attitude. And for instance, James tells us, the right attitude. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, he says when you fall into, well, here, the New International Version puts it this way. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Living Bible says, dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. See, have the right attitude. When something goes wrong, don't say, oh, just what I expected. Everything fails. Everything I do fails. No, when something happens, when trials, and they come to all of us, you say, I'm going to live above this. I'm going to beat this. I'm going to turn this into a victory. I'm not going to let it beat me. I'm going to beat it. And don't get the idea. You know, there's a teaching that's going around these days, and it's a false teaching. It's not true. It's called The Health and the Wealth. And a lot of times these preachers, you'll hear them preaching, and they promote it all the time. And then some poor people, they believe what because the preacher says it. Don't believe whatever preacher says. Believe what the Bible says. And if he's saying something that doesn't sound right, look it up in the Bible. And if he doesn't straight with the Bible and he's right with the Bible, get rid of him or don't listen to him anymore. Go somewhere else. Because God will help you to overcome these things. But you have to have the right attitude. And so you have to don't think that everything in the world is going to be perfect. You're going to have troubles and trials in this world. You have these health and wealth people. They come around and they're preaching that you'll always have a good job. You'll always have enough money. You won't get sick. And if you do, you'll get healed right away. Your marriage will be just rosy and you never have an argument with her. And I've said a man doesn't have an argument, says he doesn't have an argument with his wife. Lie about other things. Or your kids are going to turn out and they're all going to be little saints. Going to be perfect. Nothing wrong. You'll never have doubts. You'll never have fears. And now I'll tell you where they get this. Here they get it from the Old Testament. And they get it from Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. This is what God says. Therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. So you see, God's saying, now you do this and you're going to prosper. Now, I'm going to tell you the problem with this. It's Old Testament. It's meant for Israel, never meant for the church, never meant for the Christian today. God never told us that we're always going to have these good things. Paul, why, look at this. Look at the great saints in the New Testament. Look at St. Paul. He told of his impoverishment, how that he never had anything. Look at Jesus, Son of God. He didn't even have a place to lay his head. Look at the apostles scattered all over the world and everyone put to death, as far as we can tell, everyone put to death except St. John. How about the millions of Christians today in the persecuted church? They love Jesus, they love property, and they're more dedicated than the Americans are, I'm sure of that, as a whole. I know they got a better, stronger faith than I have. Look at them suffering. And so in this world, Deuteronomy can't apply to them. And it is not meant to apply to them. That was Israel when they went into the promised land. If he says, if you do this, I'm going to prosper you. But he's telling us, well, if you want to come follow me, Jesus said, you have to take up your cross. You have to deny yourself. Jesus says in this world, he says, in this world, you're going to have troubles and trials. And James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He doesn't say if you fall into them. He says when you fall into them. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to have troubles and trials in this world. Listen to what Jesus says in John 16, 33. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Paul told his converts in Acts 20, in 14, he says, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Troubles and trials. Peter's talking about the same thing. Peter, 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Peter is telling him, you're going to have these troubles and you're going to have these trials. And when they come, you take that lemon and you turn it into lemonade. You make up your mind, I may be suffering for Jesus and I may be having my troubles and my temptations, but I'm going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going to serve him. We have to have the right attitude. That is, we must rejoice when the hard things come. When you got a broken leg like I have, and you say, are you happy about that? Well, you better be. You just say, don't feel sorry for yourself. Just feel, oh, God's seen fit for me to have that. And so I got a walker. And I just love that walker. People open the doors for me. They help me wherever they are. They call me to teach me nice. The people I even owe money to are nice to me. How can you beat that, see? And just decide you're not going to be, you know that God let these things come and you're going to live them for the Lord and you're going to make lemonade out of them. You know what Job did? He made gold out of them. This is what he says, Job 23, verse 12. But he knoweth the way I take. And you know the way he took. He lost his family. He lost his holdings. He lost every thing he had. He lost his health and thought he was dying from boils on sitting on an ash pile. He says, he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There must be joy in suffering. And it is only possible if you have Jesus. And it's only possible if you mature, if you grow in the Lord and you become strong. If you're a little panty waist, if you're a little sissy baby, well, then you're going to be fickle. They'll say, oh, you'll always say, oh, this isn't right, and this isn't right, and that's the, and poor little me, and you'll feel sorry for yourself. I'm going to tell you, I've been in the ministry 72 years, and I can. There's some people I never could help, and the people feel sorry for yourself. I can't help you. You just cry, and you cry, and you feel sorry for yourself. And so just remember this. You have to have the right attitude. And then you take suffering, you say, this is from the Lord. This is God's given me this, and I'm going to make lemonade out of it. I'm going to live high. You see, that's what St. Paul did, didn't he? He had a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but he had a thorn in the flesh. And lo and behold, he prayed God to take it away. And God says, no, I'm not going to take it away. And then Paul prayed, and God says, Paul, I'm not going to take it away. Don't ask me anymore. That's what he did. Thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was migraine headaches. They think it's migraine headaches. Some thinks it was blindness. I don't know. We don't know. What did Paul do? He says, I will glory in my infirmity. I'll glory in my suffering because I'm doing it for Jesus and I'm being an example. You got to have the right attitude. You have that attitude, Christian friend of mine? You better get it or you'll never have the victory. And then secondly, we have to look at our afflictions and troubles and trials through the eye of faith. The eye of faith. Here, see, James talks about this. He says, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. And we come to spiritual maturity when we have patience and we just don't get throw up our hands and give up. We stand with it and we walk with it, the Lord. Faith to grow. You have to be patient to have faith. In order for faith to grow, it needs constant use. You have to put it into practice and you have to have the troubles and trials of life. And yet you love Jesus and you trust Jesus and you're not going to let anything put you down. And so it needs to be put to the test. It needs to be tried and needed to be tested. So when troubles and trials come your way, it is not to destroy you. It is not to destroy us. It is not to defeat us. It is given to us to grow. It's given for a purpose to grow. It's for our good. The troubles and trials of life are not against us. They are for us. Peter says, this is what he says, 1 Peter 1:7, that your trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. He says that all these things, Paul says, all these things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And that's not just the good things, the hard things. And he says, we know. He doesn't say we suppose or we wish or we hope, but he says, we know. Paul had a no-so religion. He says, I know whom I have believed. I know. And he says, I know. We know all these things work together for good to those who love the Lord. We know that because just keep this when the troubles and trials come. It makes us more patient. It makes us persevere. It makes us tougher. It makes us so we will never give up. It makes us think of God and eternity. And so Paul writes about that again in 2 Corinthians 4:17. He talks about it. He says, these troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and don't last long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessings upon us forever and ever. Faith will make us believe that. Faith will see that troubles and trials and tribulations are making us so we have more patience and more endurance, that we hang in there and we don't fall down the first time some little thing hits us. We are strong and we're tougher, and the longer we live with the Lord, the more determined we are, and all hell isn't going to turn us around. The mature, the strong believer plugs along, plows along, perseveres along, never gives up. And so Paul says, listen to him, Romans 5, 3 and 4, he says, we glory in tribulations. That's right. That's what Paul says. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. This patience spoken of here is not some little passivity thing that we sit and we say, okay, you can pound on me, and I'll sit here, little old me. Immature people are always impatient people. But those who are strong in the Lord, they'll say, set your blows, and I'm standing up, and I'm witnessing for Jesus Christ, and I'm singing in the rain, and I'm glorying in my tribulations. If you got a broken leg, you're proud of it, and wear it as a banner, and move on. Don't be a sissy and count and worry for yourself. When we mature people, we never turn back. We never give up. We put our hand to the plow, and we never turn back. There's just no way back. I remember about a general, and he had his army, and he was going to conquer a certain town, and a certain town that came in the bay. And the first thing he did when he got there, he said, told the men, burn the ships, burn all the ships. There's no going back. We're going to victory. And that's what we do. We burn the ships. We burn the bridges. And we stay with the Lord. And come, doesn't matter what happens. We're going to walk with the Lord. Isaiah writes and says, he that believeth shall not make haste. That is, we're going to stay at our post. Faith believes God. Faith believes and trusts in God. Faith is patience. Faith is a vocabulary that means we never give up. We never turn back. We never give our way. We just trust. We stand with God no matter what happens. Then finally I put down, do we submit to God's will? In order to make lemonade out of lemons, you have to trust in God's will. You've got to trust God. We have to submit to Him in everything. My submissiveness is a good way to check my maturity. If I humbly accept God's will and rejoice in that will, no matter what happens, I am maturing in the Christian faith. But if I insist on having my own way, of only doing the things that I want to do, of going places and dishonoring Christ, I'm showing immaturity. You see, God's goal for our lives and ours in our maturity is the Christian faith, is that we grow up. He gives us that in 1 John chapter 2. He talks about my little children. And then again, he talks my young men. And then he talks about my fathers. You see, that's the maturity. The little children, the young men, the strong men, the fathers, the pillars in the church. The men are on the front lines standing for the Lord. That's my spiritual growth and maturity. And those of us who are parents, we love our babies, but we don't want them always to be babies. We want them to grow up. That's what they're here for. They're here to grow up. And so God wants us to be mature and to manifest strong character and never fail. And just think of how God did it. We have to be patient. You know, when Abraham, for 25 years, God used 25 years for Abraham to build character, bring him to maturity before him, gave him his promised son. 25 years he waited for that boy when he was 100 years old. Joseph was 13 years in the prisons and in temptations and troubles in Egypt, and then he was made the second highest ruler. You have to have patience and wait on the Lord. And Joseph then placed to that high position, that glorious position that he used to the honor of God. And think of how God worked with Moses. Moses is going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's going to have to go down there, and he's going to have to stand to Pharaoh, and he's going to have to lead them out of that wilderness, through the wilderness to the promised land. So he has to be trained. And how long did it take? 40 years. And then God said, Moses, it's time to go down to Egypt and bring out my people. And so you learn to do that. Jesus took a full 3 years just teaching his disciples how to step and how to walk. We have to, don't resist God. Don't argue with God. Just submit to his will. Like in Ephesians, Paul says, doing the will of God from the heart. And from the heart we rejoice and thank God that we can move on. Obey God willingly and joyfully, and don't be pretending, but honestly and from your heart, know you have God and you love God and you'll never turn back and you won't grouse and complain and bellyache, but you'll just be a strong servant of the Lord, doing what he wants you to do. I think of the persecuted church, oh my God, scattered all over the Middle East and all over the world, oh, those poor dear people, and they're flesh and blood, and they're just like we are, and they love their babies and their children just like we are. And we're complaining when they do that, and they are doing it joyfully, and there they bow their heads and in Arabic say, Jesus is Lord, and they cut their heads off. That's what we have to do. And we can't fight with God and argue with God. And if his word teaches us and he's telling us, we have to do it. I read about the captain of a ship looking into the dark night, and he saw in the distance faint lights, and immediately told his signalman to send a message. And he sent the message to this faint light and said, alter your course 10 degrees south. And promptly a return came back, message came back, says, alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was mad, madder than a wet hen. His command had been ignored, so he sent a second message. And he says, alter your course 16 degrees south. I am the captain. And here comes the message right away. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. About this time, the captain is about to have a fit, and he immediately sent a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. And comes back the message, alter your 10 degrees north, I am a lighthouse. And that's what we do. We've got it in our mind. We're going to go our own way, and we get a lighthouse, and we can batter out our brains. And you'll never be mature, and you'll never be happy. It'll only as you submit to God. And if he says, alter your degrees south or north or up, or down, or whatever he said, says, yes, sir, with pleasure. Because the will of God is always right. And when we get to eternity, I know there's things in life we don't understand. I had a dear brother, a dear Christian friend, stood up at his wedding. He was a beautiful preacher, had five little children, killed in a plane crash. God, why did you do that? I don't know, and I won't know till I get to heaven. But when I get to heaven, I'll find out it's just the right thing. Give yourself to God. And if you're mature, you won't argue with God. If you're mature, if I'm mature, I'll say, dear Lord, what do you want me to do? But there's something you have to do first. You have to have Jesus. You can't do it by yourself. And you'll never have Jesus until you ask him to come into your heart. And you do that by just simply saying, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I'm a sinner. I sinned against you, and I ask you to come into my heart and to take away my sin, wash away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll make you the Lord of my life, and I'll obey you and follow you the best I can. That's all you need to do. I was 10 years old when I prayed that prayer. I didn't know anything. But I knew I needed a Savior, and I knew Jesus loved me. And the pastor told me, the evangelist told me, Harold, you pray that prayer, and Jesus will come into your heart. And he did. And he's been there 85 years, and he'll never leave me. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get a hold of us by the ChristianWorshipHour.com. I hope that you'll write if you've accepted the Lord. I hope that if you've been blessed, you'll send a gift. I hope that you'll have to need your life corrected, you'll correct it. And that you'll walk with the Jesus. That's the only way to go. That's my prayer, and I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that there'll be multitudes all over the world that are praying now, and they're being born again as they open their heart to Jesus. And I'm praying for the persecuted church. My God, I pray for them. And I pray for the people that are lonely and the people that are old and the people that are shut in and the people that are sick and the young people that are all mixed up and don't know which way to turn and they're hurting. And I pray that they'll turn to you because all the answers to all their needs is in you, dear Jesus. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Now we got them. Be sure to write to us now. We got it on the screen. And those of you in the Christian, those of you in the shortwave radio, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So we'll just pray that you have a good week. Next week we'll be back, Lord willing. Maybe he'll come back before then. Maybe he'll take us home before then. We don't know, but we know he has a will for every one of us, and we gladly submit to that. And so we'll just be back, Lord willing. In the meantime, you pray for us. Tell your friends to tune us in. If you know somebody doesn't know Jesus, tell them to tune us in. We'll tell them the way in every service. And the whole result will be we'll praise God and love him. In his name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.